Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Inner Circle Podcast. Look, I got the co-host of this podcast on with me right now. New co-host, right? Gavin Glaugi, bro. What's up, bro? How you doing, bro?
What's up, bro? I'm chilling. First thing we'll talk about. So that way everybody gets it right. I know my last name can be confusing. It can go two ways. You can say Glaugi or Glaugi. It's however you feel when it comes to it.
Glaugi.
Yeah, a little bit about me though from the jump.
Yeah.
I was born in Texas, Wichita Falls, about 2 hours above Dallas. I've lived here most of my whole life. Population about 100,000, relatively not biggest town and stuff, but typically if you want to go start kind of paving your own way, you got to head 2 hours south down to Dallas and stuff and start working on connections and everything. But yeah, nothing too much from this town and everything, but a little bit about what that's going on.
Yeah. How's living in Dallas though?
So I live in Wichita, but like some of my family lives in Dallas.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of fell in love with the city of Dallas just because it's like, in my opinion, it's like a newer kind of like Houston that's coming up. It's getting bigger, and there's a lot more opportunities down there for sure, 100%. And it's just growing so rapidly. And so I love going down there just because it's like a newer city. So much construction going on, all this new stuff. So like I like going down there just personally as an entrepreneur because like I see like these new like skyline apartments being built and everything.
Yeah.
And I see like
definitely
new...
out there in Dallas. Yeah. I mean, out there in Texas. Not just Dallas, but everywhere in Texas is just stupid.
Oh yeah, Texas is growing fast, bro. And so it's like if you want like some motivation, like low-key, like I'd be feeling horrible about myself when I go down there because I'm not in the position I want to be yet.
Yeah.
But like I go down there and I see it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I
want
to get.
You see it, and then you're gonna want it, and then you're gonna figure out how you're gonna get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever I start doubting myself, I just take myself down to Dallas and I look around and then it just reminds me of what I want.
But yeah, man, I mean, welcome to the show, dude. I know you've been wanting to get on this for a long time, and we've been talking about this behind the scenes. It needs to happen. You got to get on the podcast. You got to get on an episode.
Sure.
But yeah, man, you're on, but how do you feel?
Yeah. It feels pretty good. I mean, I've been definitely watching the show and keeping up with it. And I mean, me and you, like, we kind of met in a strange way.
Oh, yeah,
cool,
definitely.
But it's definitely a blessing in disguise, though, because, you know, we got some newer works that we'll talk about later on that we're working on. But it definitely interesting how we met. We met the right way for sure. We met through business.
Yeah,
everything with CWN, sure. Discord, and you know,
shout out
Ivocate. Yeah, shout out to all the boys, Zach, all of them. They're some great guys. Love them to death. I talk to them on the daily. They're all great guys. You know, I'm still active in that Discord and server, still working in there, not as much as I used to because I realized for my own personal benefit, I learned what I needed to learn from that server.
Yeah,
and everything
me too.
With those guys.
Yeah.
And so I definitely realized I had to push on my own way and mm-hmm. kind of carve my own path. But definitely shout out to those guys. I've definitely made some big connections and some definite homies for life.
Definitely, for definitely, sure. definitely. Yeah, man. It was crazy how we met, though. It was through that server. And then it was like a couple months in, probably like 6-7 months in, we were just going at it every morning on the market, just watching stocks, everything.
Bro.
And then,
crazy,
it was going crazy when we were in it.
I remember, bro, I used to bring my computer to school. And I remember, like, I would be in my college classes because, like, I was in high school taking college classes, and I would be like,
doing something way better. I'm thinking bigger than college right now.
I'm like, I'm about to make a $800 swing trade this morning. Some space.
Yeah, for real. But
yeah, no, that was.
Yeah, man, that was definitely something that really got me on the path. You know, I thought that I was going to be doing that for, you know, the rest of my life, but I don't know. I think, you know, it's just phases, dude. And you need this to happen in order for this to happen. And then that will just propel on forward, you know?
Oh, for sure. And it's like no diss towards them at all and stuff. It's just like, you know, like we met those guys and we learned a lot from each other, but at the same time, you got to grow as yourself as an individual.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, we had to take our own paths too, you know, and you know, this type of life isn't for everybody. It's definitely a lot of risk that you got to be willing to take.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, like, it definitely gets lonely for sure. I mean, I'm 100%, I co-heartedly live by this. There's a reason why a school bus has so many seats and a Lamborghini's only got two. Like, it's going to get lonely when you start making it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I got to get some good roses with you.
That's going to Twitter.
That's going to Twitter. Bro, I love Twitter, bro. I really would just be speaking my mind on Twitter.
Dude, for real. Me too, bro. Dude.
I think I also like it too because my exes are on there so they can just see the
progress. Yeah. That's the thing, man. You know, I love it when I'm doing my own thing. I speak my mind, and I just look. I look at my stories, and I see who's viewing him, and it's like people who I dropped before and all that stuff. So
yeah,
it just feels good.
And like, I want to clarify for something for everybody who stalks me and Raj's Twitter and everything. We're not on there talking shit at y'all. We are solely just speaking our minds. Like, the tweets are really just meant for us to look back on and read.
Yeah.
It just so happens are able to read them too. So take them how you want. None of this will ever be about any of y'all, respectfully. Like, I'm not wasting energy on anybody. I'm just out there speaking my mind. So that way, when I look back in a few years, I can see what was going on in that time point in my life.
Yeah. There's a reason why I framed one of my tweets.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's my self-motivation. And if you want to get on there and read it and stuff and get motivated, you can get motivated. But you can take it two ways.
Oh,
if
yeah,
you get
definitely.
Mad at them, if you get mad at the tweets and stuff and think that we're being douchey or cocky or anything, you just got to take it as you're not grinding hard enough. But if you look at it and take it as motivation, you have the right mindset then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about mindset, dude. It's like, you can't hang out with just anybody, bro. You know, if you speak your mind and people are calling you like, oh, I stop flexing, bro, or whatever. Like, I'm like, no, it's just... You know, you're not around the right people. That's...
Yeah. Like, if I really wanted to flex, bro, I'd be on my Instagram with 20K on the dash of my new GT, bro, saying, fuck everybody. But I'm not doing that, bro. I'm being respectful. Like, me just telling you that I'm grinding harder than you is not me flexing on you. It's just me speaking my mind and letting people know what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's like, I try to be, like, down low, but not too much to the fact where, like, nobody knows what I'm doing. You know, it's... Obviously, I have the podcast. That's one outlet. And then it goes directly to my Instagram. So I have to be active, you know, yeah. But.
And that's like one thing, like, I like want to clarify so much, like what meaning low means. Laying low, you don't have to go and delete all of your social medias to be like a ghost like that. Like if that's what's
working for
you, do that for you. But my version of laying low is me on social media promoting my stuff, but not telling you exactly what I'm doing.
What are
I'm not
going
to go on there and tell you my next business idea. So that way somebody can come across and take them or flex some business idea that I'm thinking of or currently working on stuff. Like, the only time you're going to hear about that is when that business is in full effect and it's running. That's the difference for me between laying low.
Yeah.
You know, and like getting on your Instagram and posting all this cash that really ain't yours and stuff, like, that's not laying low. And people who have a business mind and know how the business game works and know how this game works, they're going to see right through that flex every time. The only people that you're entertaining at this point is the sheep.
Yeah, for real. I could, that dude, yeah, 100%.
And so that's just like the crazy thing about it too is, you know, don't live your life so much through social media. Like, yeah, like for me and like Raj and a lot of other entrepreneurs, like social media isn't really a social media for us to go on and kind of have fun. It's
networking
for us.
Yeah.
It's a business. And so me, like when you're interfering with my work on social media and everything, like that's you interfering with my business. That's why I'm not paying you mind.
Yeah, it's you interfering with your business and your overall path. You know, it's like a block that you got to get
that's
over.
That's why you're not going to see me like posting some picture with a bunch of guys and like happy 20th birthday, my friend. Like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to post exposure and stuff. You know, like if me and that homie are really locked in like that, I'm just going to text him, you know, happy birthday. I appreciate you, you know, probably post something on Snapchat and everything. But like when it comes to my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook and all that stuff, like that's where my business is. My Snapchat is more for like my leisure and like my chill time.
Yeah, for real. Definitely, and definitely, like, definitely.
For sure.
Yeah, I've gotten harder on the Twitter game up until recently. You know, I'm just speaking whatever, whenever I can. Like, every time I feel lit or whatever, I'm just... Or hype, I just get on Twitter and just talk shit. But
yeah.
I just don't do that for, like you said, to flex on anybody. It's for me to look back on, you know? And that's the difference. And that's the thing, because the amount of shit I get on Instagram from those tweets that I post is insane. It's hilarious.
It's always the DMs, bro. It's always the DMs, bro. It's the funniest thing to me. And like the way my Instagram set up is like, I got to approve you to talk to me. And like, it's always going to stay that way. Like if it's not worth my time and stuff, like I'm not approving that DM to go through. And that's just me being respectful to my own self, because no matter what, whether it brings me inner peace or brings me growth and all that, I'm always going to be selfish when it comes to myself that way.
Yeah. How do people go up to you? Like, is it through DMs? Because I know you don't really post that much on your stories. So how would people just straight up DM you?
A lot of the ways is like through like connections, like getting shout out on people's stories, you know, all that. That's one way I get DM'd, or like people hearing about like what I got going on behind the scenes and stuff, for sure. So that's like one way like people reach me through Instagram and stuff. Is it's just honestly like with my word networking, it's a lot of word of mouth. And yeah, there's definitely some posting for it, but I always seem to get followed up through the grapevine and stuff, because it's always like, oh, have you heard about what this guy's doing? Then you go to that guy, then it's like, well, have you heard about what this guy's doing? Then it's like, then that guy, and then it leads to me and stuff for it.
Yeah,
you know? But most of the times, like most of the DMs I'm getting, most of the times and stuff, it's business related, like wanting to work and stuff, and or needing advice about everything. But occasionally and stuff, most of the times, like, yeah, like you'll get some hate and stuff for sure, but I never really paid any mind and stuff, just because it's just not worth my time, because I see time as valuable. Like, I wish there was 28 hours in a day, not just 24.
Well, there is. Depends on how long you stay up.
Yeah, that is true. But in my opinion, bro, like 24 hours in a day is not enough.
Yeah, just, yeah, I mean, yeah, I get that. Definitely, you know, the inner circle, the podcast in of itself, I had to work so hard to really perfect, and the business plan and all of it, because, you know, it's a podcast, so it's a business too, you know.
Oh yeah,
you have to manage it, you have to baby it, you have to you know, there's always ways to grow something.
Oh,
you know,
for sure. And people don't realize, like, anything can be a business, anything makes money nowadays. So like the excuse of like, I have nothing to make money off of, you know, it's like there's people making millions of dollars who sit on a podcast and talking to a mic about what's going on in their life, and they're making money off of it, you know. And then you got 18-year-olds sitting in their room who are graphic designers who were told that just because they're getting an art degree and stuff that it won't make them any money, but now they're designing NFTs and push them out onto a market, and they're paying off their college debt in over 8 months, you know. It's just like the excuse of no money and stuff, is that's never not going to be an excuse anymore. Because no matter what, there's always a way to make money if you look at it.
Definitely, definitely. No way. You know, it's like, enough about that part. You know, let's more talk about you. So how would you start off as, you know, obviously I know you, you're an entrepreneur, you have the same mindset as me, whatever. But I'm talking about like before this phase, Gavin, what were you doing? You know?
Okay, so like to get in a little bit of backstory. So you know, I went through elementary, middle school like everybody else and stuff. Everything was chilling. You know, it wasn't best home life growing up. And then finally, like freshman year is when I definitely hit rock bottom. Freshman year of high school is when I definitely hit my rock bottom and stuff. My biological mom finally decided that she wanted to dip out. So then she dipped out and stuff. And, you know, we didn't have contact anymore. And so for like the longest time and stuff, I was definitely down on myself. Like I was doubting my own self-worth.
Right.
And then I finally decided, you know, like after like just beating yourself up for so long, you know, you can't really do it much longer anymore. And so I just decided like I got to find some type of way. And I was like, what am I good at? What have I always been good at? And I was like, I'm good at networking. I'm good at talking to people. I'm good at making money and getting exposure. So I was like, how can I make money, especially at this young of an age? You know, so then I started working and I started getting more active and stuff around like my town and, you know, doing like smaller little businesses. And then I decided to start up my first ever business. It was Sud Studs Mobile Car Detailing. And that was a mobile car detailing business where I would load up everything in my truck and I would drive to your house, whatever time or appointment you set up, and I would detail your car at your own place. And it was like the best thing ever because it was so convenient for people, for me to like come to their house and stuff and clean their cars and stuff. And like it was making me bank. I was charging $50 to $60 a car, and a car would take me about hour and a half. And you know, doing, you know, 5-6 cars a day and stuff, you're making over $200 a day.
Yeah.
No, and so that was like my first business I got into. Well, you know, most people, you know, when they think about, you know, like, oh, that's pretty good money, especially at your age, you know, I was like, yeah, it was good money, but I wasn't spending it like that. I wasn't really splurging it, I was saving it. And then I then decided to jump into like stocks and everything. And so then as I turned 18, I got into stocks heavily. I invested a lot of the money I saved up throughout the years of doing my business. And so then I started doing stocks, and that's when I got into the ZWN Discord. And like ever since, like I was trading stocks before that, but it was going okay. But then I hopped in that Discord and, you know, like my stocks really started, like I really got to understand.
Oh, you guys don't understand. We were soaring at one point. Bro, it was just,
there was like,
It was insane. I was like in New York, and I was in New York. Like the trip, I went to New York, and it was like I would land and I would check Robinhood. It'd be like plus up 1K, just from
that option play. Bro. That was daily, like $1,000 plays. Like I remember, I had like we sent out a stock list and everything. And they're like, hold these for a few weeks, and I bought in and I held them for a few weeks. And I mean, like at first it was like okay, $200 gain that day. Then it turned into 400. Then it turned into 5. Then it turned to 6. And then next, you know, for like 3 weeks straight, like it was like $1,000 plays each day, and it just the stock just kept growing. And then finally, like the alert came out to like sell.
All right, so we sold. Yeah.
You know, and like it was just like it was insane. Like I was just sitting in my like high school classes, like
just trying not to freak the hell out.
Yeah, I'm like, holy hell! Like I just made like these $1,000 plays in high school. Like that is
literally sitting down in class, bro.
Like my teacher was always telling me to focus on my paper, and I was focusing
hell
on
no
type of paper.
Yeah, yeah, for real,
always, bro. But so stocks were going amazing, and then I decided to dive into another business venture. I had some friends of mine in my town who were like, hey, we want to start a clothing brand, but we don't know shit about running a business. I was like, let me help y'all then. So we got into the clothing business. It was called Do or Die Streetwear. And so everything started going great. I was kind of the money man of everything. I was running the finances, everything. I was in charge of networking, advertising. And so then we did our first drop, and our first drop, like we sold out immediately. We like made like close to $2,000. And so then after that, we had the money, and it was kind of like, it was definitely a gamble for sure, because we had no equipment to make shirts or anything.
But yeah.
Like, let's just push out the design and pray to God we get enough money. And we did. We got enough money.
Wait. So you started Do or Die without, like, no, you guys didn't expedite orders, nothing?
Nothing. We went in soul-heartedly with just designs and hoping that we would sell enough. Like it was definitely a gamble and
stuff. So like, we need to get in touch with that, because I got huge ideas for hoodies and t-shirts for my clothing brand and the Inner Circle. So we gotta be in tune with that. I'm gonna talk to you after this, but keep going.
So and that was like an eye-opening experience to me, was making that much money off of a business we fully didn't even have. Like most people think like, oh, if you start up a business, you're gonna have all this stuff immediately. And like most businesses, yeah. But like when I was in this clothing business, I was like, bro, I was like, we don't have the money to go like approach a supplier. We don't have money for equipment and stuff. So like, we gotta take a gamble. Like we have to take this gamble. We have to promote it like there's no tomorrow. And so we spent the last of our money on advertising, like getting like, cause I was a photographer too. So like I did all the ad shoots,
all the promo for the websites,
we did everything.
Yeah.
So that saved us money. And then we spent our last of our money on our website. And like, we bought a top tier website, made everything look great and stuff, looked amazing. So I was like, here we go. So we set the drop date and we were just praying and stuff, because it's like, crap, if we don't hit this number, we're going to have all these orders we got to fulfill, and we don't have a business to back it up.
Yeah.
So it's like it's all or nothing. So we went in and we did it, and we hit those numbers in a matter of 6 hours. Like it was insane. It was getting posted everywhere, all over Instagram, Facebook, Twitter and stuff. And like we sold.
Wow.
And so then we had all this money, and I was in charge of the finances and everything, and like, you know, like setting us up. And so I told the guys, like, we need to go. And I'm only telling this because I always want to keep it true about wins and losses. But I told the guys, I was like, we need to go to a supplier about everything. We had to go to a supplier. And they said, those guys, you know, they never ran businesses before, and they never really had the money construct in their mind. And they said, no, let's buy the equipment ourselves and let's make it ourselves.
Right.
You know, they're like, there's more profit to be made. And I'm like, guys, I'm like, we're getting into a game you don't want to be in. I was like, you do not want to be making this. I was like, we want top tier quality and stuff. And I was like, we want to keep pushing. And I was like, we already skipped the stage. Like, we don't have to make it ourselves. Like, we can push forward and already go straight to a distributor with the numbers we're making. But they were so just dead set on making a quick buck that they wanted to invest all the money we made into making it ourselves. And so I got overruled and everything, because it was me and three other guys. And so they went through and bought the equipment. And so I wasn't the most happy about it. But so we tried making it. Well, they tried making it, and I was trying to help the best I could, you know, but it wasn't really my field, but I was trying to help no matter what to keep a business alive. And yeah. So it wasn't working making it ourselves at all. It was not working. Nothing would stay. If it did stay, it looked horrible. It would peel off. I was like, guys, I was like, this is not it. I was like, I'm not going to be part of some scammy business.
Right.
And stuff. I was like, we need to get this fixed and stuff. And so like months went by and we're trying to fulfill these orders and they're so dead set on trying to make extra money by making it ourselves and it wasn't working. So finally I was like, guys, I was like, here we go again. We had to dive in back into our pockets. And I was like, we had to go talk to the distributor about getting this made and stuff. And then as soon as the talk came of, you know, using our own money to now put out these orders because we dug ourselves a hole and stuff, two of the guys dropped immediately from the business. And then I was left with one other guy.
Yeah.
And so then me and him, we were struggling to try to get it off the ground. Well, then it started working. You know, we got a distributor. We started making clothes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was, you know, the reputation kind of got hurt because it took so long to get orders out.
Yeah.
And everything. And so, you know, so like we were still trying to bounce back from that. And like now the business is good today. It's been a bit slower now because I haven't been able to work because I have so much other stuff behind the scenes. It's just making me passive income at the moment. You know, it definitely has got way more room to grow as it is, but
right, I'm definitely
focused on bigger things. I can't sit there and baby something when I have, you know, bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
It was definitely a huge learning experience and stuff. And it definitely made me realize, like, just because somebody wants to go in business doesn't mean they're ready to adequately, you know, take on the business.
It's the sacrifice.
Yeah. And it made me realize, like, this isn't meant for everybody. Like, I watched these two guys, as soon as it gets hard, immediately just flip out, you know, and just leave. I realized, like, you know, you got to choose who you're going into this with, like, better.
Yeah, you got to choose your hard. You got to choose your difficulty, man. Everything has a price.
Yeah, so you definitely got to watch. Just because they're your friends and stuff, like, yeah, they're your friends. But at the end of the day, when it comes to a business standpoint, business and friendship has two separate sides to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because at the end of the day, it comes down to the money and getting the brand out there. So it's like, yeah, just because they're your best friends, like personally, like I was meant for business. So I was ready to go into it. They weren't. So it left us at a standstill and it left me in a hole because their easier option was just to leave. So I definitely had to buckle down and get it on my own. So that's when, but it was also a good learning experience too. You know, like I really had to learn like what's right and what's wrong with, you know, going into business with friends and stuff. And would I recommend going into business with your friends? Yes and no.
Yeah. No, it's easy. You gotta choose like, who you're going in with like if you guys have the same mindset or like if like for me and you, for example, that's like,
yeah,
you know,
like we became friends through business and stuff. So like going into business together is no problem because we both had the same mindset. We're both hungry for the same thing, you know, but just everybody likes the idea of owning their own business. Like it sounds great and it sounds great telling people, but they don't really
see the sacrifice.
Yeah. You don't understand the hell that you're gonna go through to do it. It's not meant for everybody like me. Like I love the hell of it. Like that's like what carves you. That's
yeah.
Like what makes you who you are, and that's like what really shapes you into something. So for me, like another day going through hell for business and stuff is just another.
It's just a good. It's just a speed bump to go over. You know, it's like it's a necessary speed bump. It's ugly, but you know it'll be good in the end. You know, but you know with you. Doing all of this, right? Even for future plans, what we have in store, plus all the side things you're doing, how do you deal? Do you not procrastinate at all?
So, like, going into, like, procrastination is an art form to me. Like, the way that your mind is able, because, like, people don't realize, like, your mind is the most powerful thing in your body. And, like, your mind is able to play such good kind of tricks to yourself to make you feel more comfortable. And so, like, you know, back when I was coming into business and, like, starting to really get, like, a move and grasp on everything, you know, I was really pushing forward and doing great stuff. But then, like, it got to the point I was pushing myself so hard, like, I started burning myself out a little bit. And then I found myself, like, slowly, like, canceling meetings and canceling, you know, this, canceling that, you know, and like I definitely had to like pay the price for it, you know, like I watched a lot of good opportunities leave the door and it was definitely hard, you know, watching all that stuff kind of just like leave you. And it was only reason it was leaving you because it was your own doing,
right?
You know, and it's because like it felt more comfortable for me to make an excuse in my mind than it was to like get out of bed and go do it. And
yeah,
so that was like my biggest thing. And so finally it was like I got so tired because I realized like I took all these steps forward and now I'm just falling backwards. And so I realized to myself, like, I got to stop. You know, I got to, like, get out of that. You know, it's a mentality that will kill you for sure.
Yeah, definitely. In the long run.
Like, people don't realize, like, procrastination is definitely an art form in itself for your mind. The way that your mind is able to justify not doing things and stuff, like, your mind's always going to come up with a better reason. But the only reason you have to overcome that is you got to find, you know, the will in yourself to pull yourself out of that mindset. It then comes from your brain playing against you to then it's like you got to remember your desire and your passion, and you got to kind of bring your heart into it to like tell your mind no.
Yeah, and so definitely.
It was one of those, like, I definitely had to like realize like this procrastination is going to get me nowhere. So I had to like, I had to stop it for myself, and I had to make myself a promise and like really sit down and like start turning the tides with my mind. And ever since I made that promise, you know, because like the hard part for people to get out of procrastination is to get out of that mind state. And once you get out of that mindset of procrastination, like, you're set, like, nothing is going to stop you then. But the biggest part is getting over that curve. Like, people will deal with procrastination for years and years and years, and it can even follow you to your 40s and 50s. People don't realize that. But once you break that curve of procrastination, that's when you're set to really start hitting your goals, because then nothing else is going to stop holding you back, because people aren't going to hold you back. You know, your family's not going to hold you back. But the biggest thing that was holding you back was your own self. And now that your self's not even holding you back, everything's pushing you forward.
Yeah, definitely.
We really got to get going in. Like Elon Musk, when he was starting his earlier businesses, and, you know, he was working, you know, almost near 40 hours, over 40 hours a week. I mean, he was working day in and day out, sleeping on a floor, designing his new websites. And that was a man who understood what procrastination was and overcame it for himself. And now it's to the point, like, he's set for life. Like, he doesn't have to keep working, but yet you'll still catch him at the Tesla factory, you know, getting a quick 30-minute nap in on a couch just to go right back and work.
Yeah, for real. Like, it's like a recharge. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a quick recharge. And now he's on track to be the first trillionaire with SpaceX and Tesla and everything. So that's like one thing, like, once you realize like procrastination, the only person who can stop procrastination is yourself, because it's yourself doing it to you. That's when you realize like you're going to be set for whatever life throws at you, business wise and socially.
Yeah. That's the main thing, dude. That's
because anything's possible. Business wise, anything's possible to do. It's the only thing that holds you back is literally yourself. And a lot of people don't realize that. Like, when you go into business, your biggest competitor is literally yourself. It's not the rival company or anything. It's yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah, because it's a mentality, you know. Yeah, it's a mentality you have going into it. It reminded me of a quote. It's like, you can't break iron. The only thing that can break iron is its own rust. And that kind of goes the same with mentality, you know.
That head shift. You wear yourself down.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, it's just like nowadays, like, I'm gonna go a little bit on the soapbox, but like, I'm just tired of like the excuses, like, you know, like, I got off of my own ass and I started working towards something I truly saw. Like, I hope to one day be able to retire young and be able to travel the world and stuff, but I don't know, I have to stop setting aside excuses of like, why me? Like, yeah, my mom left freshman year of high school and I felt so bad about myself. And then finally, I got so tired of being in that victim mentality and feeling so weak, because everybody wants to be a victim nowadays, you know, but nobody ever wants. When somebody sees you doing well and you're doing a lot better than them, they're going to place themselves in a victim mentality. And that's when that procrastination is going to set back in on themselves. And that's when they're going to start letting themselves get down on themselves and start making excuses of why you're so much farther.
Yeah, it's because they compare themselves to you, whereas they don't learn from it and, you know, ask you, you know.
Mm-hmm. And like one thing I see you mention on your Twitter a lot is, you know, you mentioned a lot about people say that you're lucky, but they don't see what you're doing behind the scenes. And that's like something that speaks so loud to me about everything, because like, that is the thing. Like, I hate getting called lucky. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs hate getting called lucky, because none of this is ever luck. Like, they don't see us up all night, you know, working. They don't see us all day working. They don't see us pushing social events to the side because we're working. Like, none of this is ever luck. Like, where were you when I was up for 6 hours straight after a long day of work, after hitting the gym and everything, getting everything done during the daytime, to me finally being able to sit at nighttime in my office and truly work? Like, you weren't there. You know, you were watching Netflix. You were sleeping. You were, you know, going around chasing girls and stuff, while me, I was sitting here and I was working. So for you to say I was lucky, the thing is, though, you have the wrong L that you're using. The word is, I wasn't lucky. You were just lazy.
Yeah, for honestly, dude, that is like the main thing, dude. It's like, that's a sacrifice, dude. Every time I say sacrifice, a sacrifice means like do you have the willpower to drop everything and everyone in order to move on and be better?
Yeah. Are you willing to cut out a young social life of going around to the bars, drinking, chasing girls that don't care about you at all, just for them to eventually go marry some rich guy who grinded and be a housewife? Like, you got to give up right now so that way you can live that fulfilled life. Because think about it. Because right now, this is prime time for you. This is your go time. This is your
19 to 30, bro. 19 to 35. 19 to
30. Yes. Like, this is your time to get everything together and start becoming something that you want to be. Because while most people are sitting around chasing their young, you know, adult experience and stuff, like, we're working. We're beating the 9-to-5 curve. So that way, when I look back and all my friends are working 9-to-5 hours trying to clock in on that 40, I'm sitting at, let's say, my ranch house or my studio apartment in the middle of some big city, you know, working on my time. I'm my boss, on my hours. Yeah. With my employees, you know, I don't have to worry about getting that 40 hours. The only thing I got to worry about is just, what am I going to do this day that's going to be productive on my time?
Yeah, for real. But
people aren't willing to look into the future. They only want to look into what is now. They only want what's convenient for them and what's fun for them right now. Nobody wants to sacrifice. That's why it's called a sacrifice. And it's not meant for everybody. And that's respectfully, like, I'm going to say this respectful. Not everybody's meant to break the 9-to-5 curve. You can do it, but it's not meant for everybody, because not everyone's going to want to make that sacrifice. If you're content with working 9-to-5, paying off your mortgage, retiring, and dying, that's fine. That is you. That is you. 100%. I respect that. That's what you want. You figured out what you wanted in life. Go do that. But when you see me working and trying to get out of that 9-to-5 curve where I'm on my time and I'm doing stuff like traveling the world and being who I want to be, don't tell me I was lucky.
Yeah.
Don't tell me I didn't deserve it, because I made a sacrifice you weren't willing to make. And I have no ill will against you. If you come up to me, you're like, yo, what's up, bro? I love everything you're doing. You know, that's great. I'm like, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Bro.
Oh, yeah. I'd be humble, you know, and be like, I'm glad you're
doing. I'm glad you're doing good, too. Like, I'm not going to look at you and be like, ugh, you know, you're working 9-to-5. You know, you didn't want to grind like this. Because if you're content with living, you know, life, you know, if you're content making $100,000 a year.
Yeah, that's you.
Even $60,000. That's you. I so hard to respect that. No diss to you. You found what works for you and you went for it. It's just for me, that doesn't work. And that's why you will see me in public hanging out with guys who are grinding day in and day night. And you'll also see me with some people who aren't doing the best in their life, that are bottom tier. And the reason why, because you can still learn as much from that guy who's the top of his company as much as you can learn from that kid who's trying to sell you, you know, 2 for 25 grams. You know, you can still learn something from anybody. And once you get out of that mentality of you can only learn from certain people and only people worth your time, if you get out of that mentality and realize you can learn something from everybody, you have truly found the key to networking.
Yeah, definitely.
Everybody knows someone you don't know, and everybody knows something you don't know, because you don't know everything. But people like to think that they do, and that's the biggest reason why most of these networking kids don't work out, because they only want to network with certain people. I network with anybody, okay? You give me the time of day and you know something I don't know, congrats. I'm willing to network with you, because you never know who or what that person knows. I met a girl who was a bartender. She was just a bartender.
Yeah.
And she was cool. She was nice. She was chill. And me, I was just talking to her, real chill conversation and stuff. We're going on. And, you know, she's asking me, like, you know, what I had going on, you know, and I just told her, you know, I was like, you know, I was like, one day, you know, I was like, it'd be nice to, like, open up, like, you know, like a club in this town, because, you know, we don't have a club. Like, we're growing and stuff a lot,
right,
but we don't have a club, you know, and that would be a new money standpoint, that'd be a new business.
Yeah.
Goes, oh, that's crazy. She goes, I can actually help you with that. My uncle owns 8 down in Dallas.
Holy shit.
Like, what? Like, I was like, wait, I was like, you're telling me he owns 8 clubs? And these weren't just small clubs. Like, these were some nice, like, some of them were decent clubs in Dallas, but some of these were well-known clubs in Dallas. Like, he has one in the Stockyards. That's a big-time place for Dallas bars, is the Stockyards. It's a country bar. And so that's, like, where it came to me. I was like, never diss anybody. Like, here I thought this was just some college dropout bartending girl who was chilling, can make a good conversation. And she put it on me about who her uncle was. I was like, that is insane. And you know what she did the next day? She got me in contact with her uncle.
Damn, there you go.
And so now I talk to him. He's a contact on my phone, and we're working together. And that shows, like, you can find networking anywhere.
Yeah, it's literally, anybody, anyone, you know, everybody wants to always be better. And, you know, if you guys can talk about it, talk through ideas, spitball ideas, back and forth, you know, you never know what you're going to find.
100%, for sure. And, you know, like me, like, my goal in life, you know, and like, as like this is my first podcast with you, and you know, this is for me, for like the podcast to get to know me for when I'm co-hosting in future, like they know my background and they know what my intention and my goals are. So that way they get to know me better.
Right.
So I'm going to share with them what my dream is. That way, as this podcast goes on, because this podcast is also going to show progression between me and you as individuals about our business adventures and what we're doing as this podcast grows. It's kind of like, it's like a camera that always follows us around.
Definitely.
Like, we'll be able to hop on this podcast, listen to episode one, listen to episode 233.
Right.
And we'll be like, oh, Raj, remember that was right before I was getting into that business deal with that club in Dallas. And like,
yeah.
Co-owner of it. Or it was like, Raj, that was right before, you know, the stock market went to a bull market, you know, like that's how we keep up and stuff. And so that's one reason, like, I'm so in love with doing this podcast. It's a way for me to track and look back on my
progress. It's a literal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly that. It's literally, it shows us our progress. It keeps up with us. But then also by like having our guest on here, we're also learning from them too. And that's not only just us learning.
It's not like we're not doing something productive right now. You know, the inner circle is like, obviously it's called the inner circle because I'm talking with people from my inner circle, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm not doing anything valuable or productive right now. You know, I'm talking to you about obviously productive and valuable ass things.
We're learning. Yeah, we're learning.
Yeah.
Not only are we doing ourselves a favor by learning on our own time, is anybody who listens to this podcast, they're also going to learn too.
Yeah, and they're gonna want to be enticed to DM you, DM me, and really, that's why I created the Unsung Entrepreneur, the Discord server. And that's exactly why.
And if you're some 17, 18, 20-year-old kid from Ohio, the middle of some Ohio farm, but you listen to this podcast, you know, you follow our Instagrams, and you want to learn about business and everything, and you have business ideas, I'm so open to bringing anybody onto this podcast who just wants to even just learn business. Because, like, if we sit here and educate you on business, then those questions you have, a viewer could be having. And then we just answer that question for them. You know, so it's growing.
Yeah.
Productively. And so, like, my thing is, so back to what I was saying on the point of, like, you know, this podcast is, like, for us to, like, you know, like, look back on and grow and learn from and see, like, where we were, you know, years ago, months ago and stuff. So, like, just so the viewers get to know a little bit about, like, what my end goals are so they can see the progress of me reaching my goals. My ultimate goals is, you know, yeah, I want to be a millionaire, but not just a millionaire. I want to be a multimillionaire. Like, I hope to, like, achieve the net worth over $10 million. I hope to own a ranch house one day in the middle of Texas with some horses and some cattle and stuff.
Right.
And I hope to have, you know, a wife that's been with me from the start of everything, that's been with me through the highs and the lows that I endure. And then I also want to have, you know, some kids. You know, of course I want to have some kids that live on the ranch, you know, and, you know, they're living a best life. And I want to be able to give them the tools to be able to grow and start their own businesses. Because do I want to hand them down my businesses I work for? 100%. If that's what they want and they show me and prove to me that's what they want, then I will set them up to be able to run the business successfully. But if my kid looks at me and goes, Dad, I don't want to be in business. I want to go be an actor. I want to go be a doctor. 100%. You want it. I love you. That's your dream. I'm going to help you chase that dream. I'm going to give you the tools to do it. I'm not going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And that's my, you know, I want to be able to retire, travel the world, go see some things I've never thought I would saw before, hang out with some celebrities, you know, chill. But at the end of the day, I want to be able to look at myself. I want to be able to look. The biggest way for me being rich is good health.
Is to be that influence.
Yes. And be able to, like, knowing that I inspired and helped people is the biggest wealth I could ever ask for. And
exactly.
That's the biggest rich.
Yes, yes, yes,
like,
yes.
I want to be in my 40s. I want to be in, you know, a multi-million dollar home. I want to be able to look in the mirror. I'm healthy. My mental health's great. My family's healthy. My friends and everybody, they're healthy. They got everything they need. Everybody's taken care of and stuff. And so now it's time for me to finally, you know, live my life after all those years of grinding, you know,
for
and
real.
Take care of everybody.
Right.
That is like my biggest.
That is the ultimate goal right there.
If you say, Gavin, right now, I'll give you $500 million. You don't have to do anything for the rest of your life. But on this deal, I'll give you $100 million. But you can stop what you're doing right now and take care of your family. You can take care of your friends. I will take that $100 million over that $500 million any day. Because the mental health and that just physical health alone of me, my friends, my family and everything, that will always be more important to me than the money. People need to get that realized. Like, yeah, I'm money hungry, but at the end of the day, the well-being of my people and being taken care of, not
That's the ultimate goal
for me. Like, I want my kids to be able, like, I'm not buying my kids, you know, I'm not going to, if I have that money, I'm not going out, I'm not buying them Benzes for them to take out, Teslas for them to take out, Lambos for them to take out. You got to show me you want that and you got to work for it, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing is given, you know, because like 19, I bought my dream car. Right. I bought my 2021 GT and I did that on my own. That wasn't given to me. I had to work for that. And me working my ass off day in and day out, it's always worth it, is when I get in that car, I press the button to start the car up and I get to just go. I get to just drive and be with myself. I get to kind of just think about everything I've done, how far I've been coming, how hard I'm working, my future goals. Like, that car right there is so important to me. Like, people are like, you post that car a lot, but you gotta understand that car,
it means so much. Yeah, it's a representation of all the things that you've done and what it took to get there. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I hop in that car, it makes me realize everything was worth it. So what I'm trying to get out of this is, for me, for what shows me what I've done, it helps me realize, like, yeah, I'm doing something right, is that GT. Everybody has a different GT in their life. Go find your GT, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, find what makes you realize that what you're doing is working and that you are working hard and that it is worth it.
Right. Yeah.
I look in the driveway in that car, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, staying up for 12 hours straight on my computer working on my businesses, worth it.
Yeah, for real. How much does that GT cost you?
Bro, about 52K.
There you go.
2021 premium showroom car. And the funny thing is, too, I wasn't taking it seriously when I bought that car. Dealership laughed at me.
For real?
So.
Yeah, tell the story about how what happened. Yeah.
So I had a 2010 F-150 Platinum. I love that truck. That truck was decked out, you know, had a nice audio system in it, had big wheels, you know, a lot of stuff done to it. It was my baby. Love that car.
Right.
You know, so I've been working hard, and I've always dreamed of having the GT and stuff, you know, but I'm not going to go out and just splurge my money. Just because I had the money to buy it doesn't mean I'm going to go buy it.
Right.
Because my truck worked perfectly fine. It was perfect for me.
Yeah.
It was nice. It
didn't, yeah. Yeah, of course.
I wasn't going to do that. Well, a few months ago, I was in a car wreck. Thank God nobody was hurt in it. I was going through an intersection. This guy was turning. He didn't see me, and he clipped my driver's side door and my passenger's side door on my truck. He was okay. He was an older guy. We were both okay. We got out of the side of the wrecks and stuff. You know, truck was pretty banged up, but other than that, like, the truck still ran. It worked. Well, slowly, what we didn't realize is when he hit me and stuff, he threw my engine pretty much out of timing. So the engine was slowly killing itself and we didn't even know it.
Right.
And so slowly it started making weird noises. And then, like, I'm a car guy. Like, I love cars. Don't get me wrong. I work on my truck all the time. I work on my GT all the time. I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about cars. But so the engine slowly started knocking and stuff. And finally, I was, because I'm in a fraternity. I'm in Sigma Alpha Epsilon. You know, Sigma Alpha Epsilon has ties, networking ties to Wall Street bankers, some big time owners down in Dallas and Houston and even California and Florida. That's one reason I joined it. I didn't join it for the social drinking life. I joined it for the networking. I just wanted
exactly.
to be clear.
Yes. It's like, it's that one thing that I read. It was, you don't buy the Lambo for the car. You buy the Lambo for the people who have Lambo money, right?
Yeah.
You join that network.
Yeah. Biggest misconception about fraternities, and I'll get back into my truck story real quick. But while I'm on the talk of fraternities, okay, yes, some people get in fraternities to party and have a good college experience. I got into it solely for the networking, and I know plenty of other people who did too. And stuff, you get in for networking. People don't realize there is a business behind fraternities and there is networking strategies. Sigma Alpha Epsilon, I'm not promoting them. I'm not saying go rush them or anything. It's a great fraternity. I love the organization. I joined it for my own reasons, and the reasons being was it's the largest fraternity in the nation. And like I said, we have ties to Wall Street bankers. We have ties to Fortune 500 owners, everything.
Yeah.
You know, it was either the 15th president was Sigma Alpha Epsilon. The head of the coach of the Chicago Bulls is a Sigma Alpha Epsilon.
Oh, shit. Brother.
Dierks Bentley, the famous country singer, Sigma Alpha Epsilon. David Spade makes all those hilarious comedy movies, Sigma Alpha Epsilon. Same fraternity. And the thing is that what most people don't know is we have a private database that you have to be an SAE to access, and I have all of their phone numbers, emails, address, everything. I'm able to contact them, and that's one reason I joined the fraternity. I can go up, search up some of the top Wall Street bankers that are in SAE. I'm able to reach for them. I have their phone numbers. I have their addresses. If that's not networking, then I don't know what networking is to you.
Yeah. No, definitely. You're on another level, bro.
A whole database of all these well who all these guys who've done well in life have made their way, paved their ways, and I have a whole it's a networker's dream. I have a whole list of phone numbers, addresses, emails, ways to contact them, to get in touch with them.
Yeah. You know what you need to do now? What you need to do now is really just grind more and try to find the connects of different publishers around the U.S.
We got hundreds of them. And that's the plan with this, especially with, you know, this podcast and stuff. I plan on getting it, networking it out to some of these alumni and stuff and showing them what we're doing, you know, and getting promotions from them and stuff.
But yeah, definitely.
But that's one big misconception is, yeah, you can pay for your friends or you can also pay for the networking of a fraternity, the business side of it. So yeah. I just want to clear that out. I don't want people to think I'm just some young Texas kid in a fraternity who likes to party and stuff. Like, there's a lot of business to it.
Yeah.
And so now people, like, it'll be eye-opening to some people to hear that about. But back to the car. So the engine eventually, so I'm going to my fraternity's brotherhood. That's where we get initiated. That's a big deal. We're driving out of town. Next thing you know, I'm about an hour and a half out of town. Truck breaks down. Low-key a low point. Kind of hit hard because that was my truck. I went through a divorce with that truck. I ran my first ever business with that truck. You know, I had emotional ties to that truck. Went through my first breakups, everything. So I was attached to that truck, you know, and stuff. And life was already kind of going a little wrong at the time. And I can get into that later if we got time. But so truck went out. And I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't ready to part ways with it yet. But that truck went away and stuff. And so I left it there in that town, that small town of Munster. My dad went the next day to go pick it up on a trailer, and we got it back. And so I came back from my initiation stuff. We took the truck to the shop, and the shop was like, nah. He's like, your truck's done. That engine's toast. So I was like, dang. I was like, I guess it's time. You know, I was like, I've been waiting on this. It came sooner than expected. But luckily, I was in the financial position. I still am in the financial position. I was like, I'm going to do it. I deserve it. I've worked hard. I've grinded for years. I was like, I'm gonna do it. So I started looking around and stuff, started looking all day, every day for my dream car, and that was a black GT. And I was going to take nothing less than the 2021. I wanted the newest model, top-of-the-line model, and so I said, I'm going to do it. And so finally, I found this GT. It was in McKinney, Texas. I started making phone calls to one of the dealership agents, and so I found – okay, so I didn't exactly find that black GT. I found a blue GT that I really liked.
Oh, okay.
And I was calling him. He was like, hey, we don't have that GT yet. It's in because they didn't even have this black GT on their website yet. He goes, it's still being made in the factory. He goes, but we just got this one GT out of the factory. It's literally a week old and stuff. It has 9 miles on it. It only has 9 miles because we had to drive around the dealership to get it, you know, it tinted, it cleaned up, and then we had to go fill it up on gas. He goes, so that's why it has 9 miles. He goes, do you want to come take a look at it? Well, I was like, well, tell me about it. What is it? He goes, it's an all-black GT. He goes, it has the all-black option. Everything's blacked out on it and stuff. He goes, it's a premium. He goes, it's got the heated seats, the cold seats, the big display screen. Has all the bells and whistles you would ever want.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I was like, I'll be down there tomorrow. He said, really? I was like, yeah. I said, okay, I'll be down there tomorrow and stuff. I was like, I want to take a look at it. And I was like, we can work out a deal. He said, okay, deal. I told my dad and stuff. We got everything worked out. I also work at the bank. It's also the same bank I bank at. So I got the money in line and stuff. Got my accountants ready, told them what's going down. And so then loaded up. I went to McKinney, Texas and stuff. And when I say I fought like a dog for this GT, I fought like a dog for this GT. He pulled up in it and stuff. So the GT, they had it in the showroom.
Yeah.
So I showed up to the dealership, and I was like, there it is, Dad. That's the GT right there. And stuff. So we went to go take a look at it. I was like, hey, Dad. I was like, call the dealership guy I've been on the phone with and stuff. Tell him that we're here. So I walk up into the middle of the showroom and stuff. Now, let me tell you what I'm wearing. I'm just wearing some black shorts. I'm wearing just some fraternity T-shirt and a Bass Pro Shop hat. I look no way like I'm able to buy a black GT, and that's just being respectful.
Right.
So I walk up to it. I'm looking at the car and stuff. You know, I'm looking inside of it. And this is probably one of my favorite moments of my life. This dealership guy who I've not been on the phone, I've not talked to this guy, I don't know who he is. He comes up to me and stuff. And he goes, oh, he goes, you like this GT and stuff? I was like, bro, I was like, yeah. I was like, I love this GT. I was like, this is a beautiful car. I want this car and stuff. He goes, he looks at me, he goes, well, he goes, you know, if you work hard and all that stuff, you know, you get a good job, you graduate college and all that. He goes, you could definitely afford a car like this and
stuff.
Holy
shit.
You know, homeboy walks away from me.
And he got heated.
I was like, that's fine. I was like, that's fine. He's going to
see. Dude, he doesn't even know, bro.
He just missed out on his monthly commission for his car.
Yeah.
And so, next you know, finally, my dealership agent came in and stuff. He came in. He goes, okay, guys. He goes, let's clear the showroom out. Because, like, the GT was on the showroom floor. It was on top of this stand, and then it had a bunch of other GTs surrounding it. This was, like, their golden goose of GTs.
Right.
It was all black one, yeah, all the bells and whistles and stuff. And so they started moving all the GTs out of the way and stuff.
In the showroom.
Yes, in the showroom. And then they pulled my GT out of it. And when I heard that GT start up, I was in love from the start.
It's
starting up in that showroom was something for me. So he pulled the GT out of the showroom and stuff. And then that dealership guy came up to my guy. Shout out Matt at McKinney, Texas. Best dealership agent I've dealt with. Your sales manager, he can go fuck himself, though. He was an asshole. But Matt, you're the man. I love you to this day. And I still look at the photo I took of me buying that car. But that dealership guy walks up to my boy Matt, and he's like, who's buying this? He goes, oh, he goes, Gavin is. And he's like, who's Gavin? And so I stuck out my hand to him. I was like, Gavin, glad you're nice to meet you. And then I went over to that table and I signed that paperwork and I took that GT off the lot.
Holy shit. Please tell me as you were driving out, you were looking that dude in the face.
Bro, homeboy was standing outside with Matt just watching, bro. It was the best thing ever. It was so nice to me because he just could not believe it.
Yeah. That's one of those crazy. Like,
bro, it was the best memory of my life and I love it to this day.
Damn.
Like, every time I get in that car and I start it up, I'm like, yep. Yeah, I remember that and stuff. You know, and my dad, he was just laughing. My dad didn't say anything. He was just laughing and stuff because he just knew what was going down.
Yeah.
But, oh man, I wrote them a fat check for a down payment. Everything's going great. Car's all in line. You know, I'm paying it. You know, because, of course, I didn't pay for it in cash, you know. And so, yeah. I got to keep building up that credit and everything. I think I ended up talking them down on the GT to $44,000 on it. We talked them down a good amount and stuff for, because I'm never going to pay full price and stuff, you know, that's just dumb. So I talked him down to about $44,000,
right,
for the Jeep. And so so got the paperwork in line and everything. Now that car, it sits at home with me and stuff. It's my baby. I take care of her and stuff. She's definitely made some impression in my town for sure. Everybody seems to know who drives that car.
Yeah, definitely, dude. That's crazy, dude. If you were to sorry to totally cut you off, but if you were to give one piece of advice or motivation to anybody listening right now from your personal perspective on anything entrepreneurship, what would you say?
Here we go. You're gonna make a lot of enemies in this game. This game is not fair to anybody. It was never fair, and it's never gonna be fair to you. And once you realize that life's not gonna be fair, and that this business game that you're getting into, because here's the thing though, when you step in to this world of grinding and wanting to be something and stuff, you're walking into a pack of wolves, and these pack of wolves will tear you up at any moment and stuff. So once you realize that it's your back against the wall and you got to come out swinging, life's going to get a whole lot easier because you're going to realize that you got to be a fighter. You got to fight for what you want in this game, and nothing's ever going to come straight to you. If you want it, you have to go get it yourself. And by the end of the day, you know you made it is when you're leading that wolf pack. And that's the biggest thing. It's never going to be fair. And once you realize it's not going to be fair, make the game unfair to itself.
Yeah, and another thing, it's going to be lonely, dude. When they, you know, that phrase is true to every syllable, you know. Mm. That's what I've figured out in the past, you know, 9 months.
Oh, yeah. I've lost so many friends. I've lost so many, you know, relationships I was in because I was so dedicated to this, and they didn't see the same picture as I was. So, yeah, it's lonely, definitely lonely. But once you start finding somebody who's willing to go through that hell with you, it's going to be worth it. Like, I found a good group of guys, and I'm proud to say I'm in the inner circle because I know these guys are going to stick with me through everything, through it. So,
but yeah, definitely not.
Once you find people who have the same vision as you,
yeah, no, bro.
It's going to be pretty lonely because this isn't meant for everybody. There's the reason it's called the 1% for a reason.
Yeah. Do you have the willpower to decide who's your friend and who's not?
Yeah.
Do you have the willpower to cut everybody off and to just move on and figure things out by yourself?
Do you have the willpower to realize that at the end of the day, it's your life, and that those people that you're trying so hard to impress are not going to give a damn about you? That's the willpower, knowing that you're on your own no matter what. So at the end of the day, you have to make progress for yourself and impress yourself, not just some people who are going to remember it for the next hour and then forget about it.
Yeah. That's one thing, dude, that I've learned in the past 9 months is that, especially up until recently, you know, maybe a couple of days ago, I sound like a broken record, but ever since I got published, dude, my phone hasn't been going. My phone hasn't been silent in the past week, or ever since that night, right?
Bro, you getting published has been rubbing off on me too.
For real? How? Like,
yes, bro. That's the waves, bro, of being in a tight group, bro. You blowing up on Instagram and stuff, and us like posting about each other and sharing like that we're in business together and stuff. Now we're doing stuff together has gotten me waves too. Like, yeah, I've gotten some followers from it. I've gotten a few DMs. I had one guy asking. He's like, you know Rogelio? And I was like, yeah, I know Rogelio. I was like, that's my homie and stuff. I was like, that's my business guy. And that just shows, like, I just want the viewers to see how much of, like, how big of waves like that you're making yourself.
Yeah.
To the point, like, your waves are getting so big, it's starting to splash even onto your team.
Dude, the second I press stop recording and I finish the graphic for this, post it on your story, post it on your feed, and put the link to that in your bio and see how much shit happens, dude. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna blow up, dude. I'm telling you. But
so it is February 13th, 2022, and we're gonna look back on this date. It's 2:00 p.m. Okay, what are you hoping from this podcast on February 13th, 2023? What are you hoping to see from the gains of this podcast, and where are you hoping to see yourself?
Probably Bora Bora with the boys.
Bro, that's my dream place. That's nuts. You just said that.
We're gonna be two camera set up, in a table. Background's gonna be the ocean, good light setup, the Inner Circle LED, the podcast session in Bora Bora.
Some expensive liquor.
Yeah, what's it called? Bro. But in all seriousness, you know, the podcast has been doing great. You know, this is the 7th one of its inception. That's another thing. Like you said, you know, people don't see the grind, and they just see the come up and say, oh, hey, congratulations on, you know, like my family, even, you know, they're like, oh, congratulations on the podcast, I didn't even know you were doing it. And that's the thing, they didn't even know. People don't know what you're doing, you know. They say, yeah, you know, oh, that's cool, you got a show, you're doing this. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know what it took to get to where I'm at right now. You know,
sure,
the people, the time, the energy, the you know, stepping back and looking at my drawing board, the business plan, redoing the business plan, renaming, making the guest list, trying everything, like, you know, hashtags, the niches, trying everything, topics, whatever. It wasn't until then that, you know, for a podcast, you know, since this is the 7th one, it's like, I've done media reviews, game reviews, football. I even got into football for a little bit with my boy. Like, you know how they do that play-by-play thing on TV? It's like that, but in a, you know, on Spotify and crap like that, whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't until then that, you know, these things weren't working. They weren't landing. It got a little bit of traction, but it didn't really, you know, it didn't really spank the horse enough so that the horse would really go running, right? So. Yeah. What I do, it wasn't until I started speaking my mind, that was when it really started to take off. And then, you know, the Inner Circle, believe it or not, when I started it, it didn't really land as fast as I thought it would be, and it crashed. So I had to step back and really look at it again, and make a new business plan, new graphics and everything. And you've seen,
you had to step back and adapt.
You've seen the changes of the cover art and everything ever since the beginning. You've seen the different arts I've had, the covers that the podcast has had, and I'm still gonna change it again. You know, I'm a perfectionist like that. Like, if I don't like it, I'm gonna change it. But, you know, there's always ways to elevate. But that just goes to show that the podcasting was a smart move, because literally I can have anybody on.
Yeah, if you're not building your business to adapt and stuff, your business isn't going to stay with the game. And so seeing you constantly adapt is a good sign for a business, especially a podcast and everything, because you got to adapt with the times and the flows, the way society is going.
Yeah.
So I just want to say kudos to you for already saying that you got to adapt and build.
Yeah, kudos to you, bro. You know, Gavin, dude, ever since I met you probably about a year ago, year and a half ago, dude, ever since ZWM, dude, you've been like, you know, you're that guy to, like, you know, you're the influence. You know, I just want to tell you right now that you're the influence. You're 19. You're the same age as I am, you know, and we're just, it just goes to show that if you have the same mindset as I do, and I have the same mindset as you do, and we're both looking at the same goals, and, you know, with the Unsung Entrepreneur, you know, the Discord server, everybody in there is my boy. You know, everybody that's in there are my boys. You know, Branson, Amit, he's in the military, Doctrinix, Preston, you've heard of him. He's like, he's been on episodes before. They're all super close to me, mm-hmm. and they have the same mindset as I do. So mm-hmm. that's why I built the Unsung Entrepreneur, is that if you're an entrepreneur and you don't know what you want to do, you join that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I called it the Unsung. Do you know what the word unsung means?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but let's explain to the viewers who don't know.
Yeah. So basically, I called it the Unsung Entrepreneur because the word unsung, if you look it up, it means unacknowledged or...
Yeah, unheard of.
Yeah, like, what's the word?
And that kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that goes back to the Viking days because they used to always make songs about folklores and, you know, the kings and everything going on about it. And so that was like a big deal if you were unsung about, you know, you weren't really known.
Yeah, but in layman's terms, unsung means unknown or unrecognized.
Yeah.
And when I started out, nobody, like, you know, I always knew I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And since, and you know, the first step, what I mentioned in my article is that I love how the publisher didn't, if you go my article right now, I there's a quote and it said that everything has a price. And for me, paying that price was the hardest thing I had to go through. I like how the publisher didn't put what the price was because I mentioned it. And that price was dropping everybody and distancing myself from everybody. Everybody. And that was the price that I had to pay, you know. And I didn't, the repercussions on top of that was, you know, you're lonely. And, you know, when they say it's lonely at the top or it's lonely going to the top, that's true. You know, because not everybody has your same ideologies or morals. That's why you got to get with good people, with the right people. And that's why I built the Unsung Entrepreneur, is that there's my people. And obviously, I'm a personality, you're a personality, and everybody who's been on the podcast with me is a personality. Because they're known, because they're on the episodes. So they have already exposure already. So if you want to get closer to me and Gavin, and all of my inner circle, you go ahead and you join that Discord server. If you're an entrepreneur, you don't know where to start. Like Gavin said, yeah.
100%, bro. 100%. Take the leap. Join the Discord. Get in touch with some people.
It's all about networking, dude.
All about networking. Well, I just want to leave off with a few things before we go. I just want to say I'm grateful for the opportunity Raj has brought me to be able to be a co-host on this great podcast. I definitely want to see the growth and everything for it. And I just want people to know, no matter what, it's always attainable as long as you have your mindset for it. And that's what you truly want to do. And I hope to see big waves coming from this podcast and the Discord. And I hope to be able to inspire thousands of young entrepreneurs who don't know what path they want to take in life towards business. And I hope that by listening, they're able to learn something and be able to learn about what they want to do in future tracks for themselves. And the goal for everybody is to ultimately get everybody where they want to be in their life. It's not competition. It's just everybody's here to help each other.
Yeah.
Instead, because at the end of the day, we're all at the same goal. We all want to be wealthy and make something of ourselves and be, you know, a legacy for our families.
Right.
Definitely. So I just want to say big shout out to the Inner City Podcast. I want to make sure everything goes great for it. I want to take care of all the guys, and I just want to say I'm grateful to be able to be a co-host.
Yeah, definitely, dude. No, and you know, you're deserving of the title, the mantle, because you know you're a brother, and you know I've known you for what, a year and a half, and we've already gotten this close. And that's the thing about having the same mindset as me, is that we instantly like that, we spitball back and forth.
Yeah, clicked immediately. And now we're working on two big businesses ideas that we're pushing forward and working on, and that we'll be able to talk about, you know, on the next podcast.
Yeah, next time we're on. More in depth. Yeah.
And stuff. For the podcast, we're hoping to have some more guests on here.
Yeah, you know, get some of your boys on here, Gavin, you know.
I got some good crypto guys that want to come on here and talk and stuff. And we're going to try to get everybody from every walks of life and every different business side that there is to be on this podcast. So there's something for everybody to learn, you know. Yeah. We're trying to bring in as many different people as we can from every different sides of business. That way you can learn that type of business that you want to learn about.
Definitely, definitely. So yeah.
I just want to wish everybody good health, good grace, and, you know, keep grinding like some real motherfuckers.
Yeah, Mr. Glaugi, I appreciate you. I adore the motivation and the drive, but, you know, this is the first episode out of hundreds.
Beginning.
And, you know, this is essentially the new beginning, I guess, the new other chapter of the Inner Circle. So after a while of not uploading, having you on as a new co-host is going to change things. It's going to be the next big thing. I'm going to get this, mark my words, this is recorded, this is live, I'm going to get this as big as the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, it's on.
I'm going to get this as big as the Joe Rogan podcast.
That's the goal. And, you know, there's a lot of times, like, we'll be talking about business on the podcast, but there's definitely going to be a few podcasts, you know.
It's just laid back, chill, you know.
You know, talk about what's been going on, tell some crazy stories, you know.
Yeah, I know you got some.
Every now and then we might bring on some random guy to tell us some crazy theories we haven't heard about in the U.S. or about the government or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we'll always be mixing up. Like, there's definitely going to be some fun podcasts. There's definitely going to be some serious podcasts. There's going to be all type of podcasts and stuff for sure. So I don't want people to think that just strictly just a business podcast.
Oh, like, no.
There's show laid back, you know, talking about, you know, some crazy stuff that's happened in our lives and stuff, because this also is, you know, about us and about other people and stuff too. So we'll definitely be sharing that too, you know, just some crazy life stories. You know, we'll bring on some people, you know, who know some crazy stuff that they want to share and stuff, you know, keep it interesting and all that, you know, and still have, you know, the business side too and stuff. But yeah, I just want to wish everybody good health,
yeah,
good wealth. Keep grinding.
Yeah, keep grinding, you guys. Until the next one, Gavin, thank you. I appreciate you for coming on, taking the time out of your day to be on here. And, you know, you got my 100% support in anything.
Yeah, 100%. Y'all, dude, the whole Discord does. Everybody in that Discord's a brother to me, and I love everybody like they're a brother. And it's good to have everybody. So if you want to be a part of the family and the brotherhood, join on there, talk with us and stuff, get to know us, you know, let us help you, help us, you know. It's a big community and stuff, so...
It's getting there, man. But God bless you guys, and y'all stay safe. Y'all keep the dream alive, and I'll talk to you guys on the next episode.